This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
In this Joycast, you'll hear a summary of the weekly program. Due to copyright restrictions, the music has been edited out to make this Joycast possible.
For more information about the music played during the show, please visit the blog at joy.org.au/The Fool and the Opera.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of The Fool and the Opera. As you know by now, I am Dan Vo, The Fool, I suppose because it's easier that way. Now, as Gary said from the news, so thanks very much to Gary for the news, and before that, thanks to Behind the Scenes with Vito and Bill for another excellent show. We do have a world first here on the show today. It is National Youth Week, and this week we thought that to fit the theme of National Youth with, you know, young people all around Australia showing what they can do, we thought that we'd get a 28-year-old gay composer who originally is from Thailand but now resides in Hobart and has just recently written a very, very good chamber opera called The Lunchbox, which had its world premiere this week. So we've got a recording to play for you, and it means that we are probably the first radio station to play it in Australia. So it is quite an exciting episode that is ahead of you. And of course, the composer is Thanapum Sirochang, and we spoke with him this week, and we've got an excellent interview with him as well. And during the interview with him, he managed to mention Doctor Who, and you know, it's a bit of a lame excuse, but I thought it's enough really to play for you tonight the theme of Doctor Who. I like to make sort of surprise you each week with something that is a little bit left of field, and you may not consider operatic at all. And you know, the BBC National Orchestra of Wales is the official orchestra that plays the Doctor Who theme. And, you know, there was a concert back in 2006 called The Proms, which is this thing that they do in Britain quite annually. And they sort of played the Doctor Who theme at the concert because they thought that it would be an excellent way to make the Brits attend classical performances. So they basically played, you know, you've got the Doctor Who theme, and you've got the Montagues and Capulets from Prokofiev, and Wagner's Ride of the Valkyries. And so I thought that would be quite fitting to start the show today with the Doctor Who theme, as played by the BBC National Orchestra of Wales. But that's not the only thing that's going to be on the show today. It's going to be quite exciting. I've got a few other things. I found a few pachyderms, elephants, if you rather, who have performed the Three Baht Opera. And if you don't know what that is, it is basically a bunch of Thai elephants getting together to perform the Three Penny Opera by Kurt Weill. And I've got a recording of that. Also a recording of the first fully staged opera written by a Thai composer. The opera is called Madonna, and we'll play that a bit later on. Now, for those of you who don't know, this week we are followed not by Bent Notes as usual, but we've got a special broadcast this week. It'll be live from the Circuit Bar. It'll be hosted by Tim Newton, and it will feature special guests, porn director Chi Chi LaRue and Titan Men exclusive porn star Marco Blaze, debating the pros and cons of barebacking in porn. So in order to make it all fit, I've also found a piece of opera or a piece of music that has both opera and porn. So we'll finish the show with a happy ending, so to speak. But first, to start off, we do have the theme from Doctor Who. This is The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. You're on Joy 94.9. It is The Fool and the Opera, the show where we basically bring opera, we take it from the old people and give it back to the youth. as you know, it is National Youth Week, and on Joy this week we will basically be presenting a lot of youthful stuff. You know, youth, that's Y-O-O-F. We've got a lot of presenters who are from we've got a lot of presenters. We had a lot of trainees through the years. We had a Foundation for Young Australians grant several years back, and we trained same-sex attracted youth. in radio broadcasting. I am one of the graduates of that course, and I think over the years we train around about 70 students all across, and we're basically reintroducing those young producers, presenters to the station. So across this week you'll be able to catch a lot of youthful presenters coming on air, and they'll be sort of engaging with the existing programs, basically sort of like a cultural exchange, if you will, which is something that I think that this program we try and do quite often as well. It's basically about, you know, bringing things that you would think is a bit too, you know, hoity-toity, a high shelf, and bringing it back down so everyone can understand and everyone can enjoy it. And basically this Youth Week is what we're doing, you know, making things that may seem a bit difficult to you, like, you know, the young people and those mobile phones and whatnot and their new technology and all those, you know, newfangled contraptions. Well, we're basically getting rid of all the stereotypes and making it accessible to everybody. So hopefully you will tune in this week to hear a lot more of the fantastic things happening at Youth Week, National Youth Week. And Joy is a media partner. And as part of what we do as a media partner is to do quite a few on-campus broadcasts. And this week, you can catch the outside broadcast at Monash University in Caulfield from 2 to 4 this coming Tuesday. I'll be presenting with Micah, who's from Generation Next. And you can also catch another broadcast at the Princes Hill Secondary College on Friday. And that is at 12 p.m. till 2 p.m. And it's a very important sort of aspect of what we do, basically bringing this, Gay Lesbian Radio Station, and bring it to on campus so that it sort of removes that stigma that a lot of young people, especially going up in high school, university, may feel, you know, sort of getting rid of the stereotypes and making sure that they, you know, sort of see that we're just real people at the end of the day. Now, we did play the song, the theme song of Doctor Who. We had the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, and the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, if you're trying to find, you know, I always like to connect things back to opera, and they were at one point conducted by Richard Hickox, who is the Opera Australia's last artistic director. And I've got another track coming up as well, which has a very direct connection to opera as well, and the song is called The Songs of Captivity and Freedom, and it comes from the Doctor Who Series 4 soundtrack, composed by Murray Gold. And the singer that you'll be hearing is English countertenor Mark Chambers, who studied at the Royal Northern College of Music with Richard Hill and a few others, and, you know, he's performed with Richard Hickox as well, so there's the second connection. But he's also done a lot of work that involves countertenor, basically men who sing the highest possible range, and he's sung in roles such as Andronico in Handel's Tamerlano, and a few other things as well, which I can tell you a little bit in a short while. Now, this program does work best with your feedback, so if you want to SMS something or email, you can SMS 0427JOY949 or send an email onair@joy.org.au. Just let us know if you're enjoying the music, if you're having a good time, and if you're enjoying the opera. So now, this is from the Doctor Who Series 4, Songs of Captivity and Freedom. Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9, and that was Songs of Captivity and Freedom from the Doctor Who Series 4 soundtrack. So it's quite a beautiful little piece there, and sung by Mark Chambers, who is well known for his acclaimed production, his participation rather, in the acclaimed production of Rameau's Les Bourdades, and I think that's the way you pronounce it. And he's also done quite a bit of Purcell stuff, and he's very well known for that. And as I was saying before, he's a countertenor, so he's singing the highest range possible for a male. And traditionally, back in, I believe, the 16th century, that sort of role would have been done by a castrati, basically a male who, before puberty hit, was castrated. So he had this sort of very high-pitched voice on a male frame, so able to sing very strong, but at the same time, very high. And it's sort of, when you see that sort of stuff being performed in the opera house, it's quite... I suppose perplexing when you first see it, but it's also very otherworldly. So it's a very unique voice, and sort of countertenors are basically, they're not castrated, because we don't do that sort of stuff anymore, and but they can sing that high range. So it's sort of like, sort of bringing that taste of what it opera would have been like for audiences so many years ago, giving you a window into that world. Now, we've been playing quite a few tracks from Doctor Who because my interviewee from this week mentioned it, and so, you know, I like little sketchy connections, and Tanapum Sitachang is the interviewee from this week, and as I said before, he's a 28-year-old male gay composer and lovely guy, and I think it's a very suitable interview to play at National Youth Week as well, because we love to show that young people can achieve great things as well. So I'm going to play the interview highlights, and as a world first for the station, we've got a recording as well of a bit of his chamber opera. We've got a part from Act 2, I believe it is, and it's sort of a draft version. It's a rehearsal version, so you can hear the instruments being counted in by the conductor, but it's a really beautiful piece of music, and I think if you can kind of just appreciate that it is a rehearsal piece, you can still get an appreciation of how beautiful the music really is. And it's quite fascinating because it is he's a Thai composer, and he's written an opera using both Thai and Western styles. So this is Tanapum Sitachang on the Fulani Opera on Joy 94.9. Tanapum Sitachang is a composer with great promise. A graduate of the Payap University in Chiang Mai, he then went on to complete his master's in music composition at the Tasmanian Conservatorium of Music. His new work, The Lunchbox, will have its world premiere with IHOS as part of the 10 Days on the Island Festival in Tasmania, which is what he joins us to talk about today. Thanks for joining me, Tanapum.
Hello there.
So, in terms of the story, I believe that it's from a Buddhist story.
It's a folk tale, more like it. It's based on a true story that happened roughly 300 years ago, and it's become a folk tale. And it's about a mother who had this love and sacrificed her life to this to her son. They lost their father. The son lost her father when he was young, so it's kind of having interesting relationship between these two, that he's bored and he always get angry to his mom. Especially he not been treating his mom well since the father died. And it's come to a pretty tragic consequence between two of them, which I might just have to hold that.
I think that the ending is quite, it sort of brings about a feeling of guilt. And I've seen the pictures of the staging of this, and it's going to be quite a sensational ending as well.
Yes, it should be really, really sensational ending, that when it's come to this transform in a spiritual way, that he changed from another person, kind of nasty, really naughty, grumpy man, turned out to be someone calm, and that's when the Buddhist philosophy come in, that when he become someone else, pure, and come to a realization about his life and think back about all those things that he'd been doing.
So how does the music link in now with the story? Because it's written in Thai, but I understand that your music sort of blends between traditional Thai music and also Western opera styles as well.
Oh, yes. That'll be, to start with, they're completely different between Thai traditional music and Western music. To start with the notation, I'm pretty sure that everyone's familiar with the Western music notation with the five line stuff with this little black dot with the stems to indicate the pitch and the rhythmic. And in Thai music, it's just all this empty bar with character and dot.
Right.
So I had to transform that to Western notation where it starts, which is quite interesting and fun to do for me. And most of the time, more than 70% of all time I'm writing this music, I had to work around the language.
Okay.
Because Thai language is more like a melodic language. You can't really change the pitch of each word, because one same word, you can have different meaning if you're not saying it right.
Did the libretto come first?
Yep, the libretto is the first thing that I asked from everyone here, that I need the libretto to finish the first thing so I can start working on it.
It sounds like it would have been quite a challenge then to sort of work the music around the libretto, which could not change in the way that it was pitched.
That's something interesting. Of course, I had to work around that and have the music in the... I notated it in Western style, so to to create that and make it more interesting, instead of having this word and the way they say it, I expand it, I put in the rhythmic and put in the melodic line which fit with the word and work around that. It's just fun to do, to have Western operatic style underneath it. Mm. It's really, really challenging and fun. I take it more like fun. Challenging is to be more, is make it sound like I'm having a hard time with it. No, I'm not having a hard time with it. No, I'm just having a lot of fun doing it, actually. Just love it. I'm just loving it.
Have you always had this love for music?
Yes, indeed. Well, I start when I'm really young. My first music lesson would be back when I was 8 years old. And since then, I never get away from it.
Yeah, I understand that you were with the Prince Royals yeah. College Ensemble.
Yes.
What was it? What was the instrument that you started with?
Trombone, slide trombone.
Ah, okay.
This will be funny, actually, if you'd like to know how it starts.
Yeah.
Well, I was quite tall when I was at that age, compared to the other boys around, and I'm actually trying to join the basketball team.
Alright.
Yes, and, well, it's just that I got to the wrong line, and then I went to basketball team, and they didn't call out my name there, and I just like, oh, what's wrong with that? And I end up joining a trombone section. So that's how it happened.
So then, had things yeah. turned out differently, you could have become a big NBA star instead of an opera composer.
Yeah, well, sometimes when you do silly things, it just turns out perfectly fine.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9, and before those messages we heard a beautiful little piece. It is from the opera, the chamber opera rather, The Lunchbox. And it's written by Tanapum Sirachang, who is our interviewee for this week, a young lad, about 28, so just a bit older than me. And it's I think it was a beautiful little piece, and I don't know if you heard, of course you would have heard, all the instruments being called in. I think that it's really interesting on two levels. One is, the whole piece as itself, in itself, is wonderful. It's absolutely beautiful. What we just heard is from scene two, when the mother is introduced to everyone for the first time, and she basically sings about her life and how she, you know, works all day to clean up this house for her son and to feed her son, you know, cooks all the food for her son while he works out in the fields, and he comes home and she wants him to be happy, even though he's this sort of, you know, grumpy, nasty guy. And the second reason why I think it's interesting is because for me, listening to sort of all sorts of different instruments, sometimes it's a bit overwhelming. You don't know what's what. So having the conductor sort of calling in the different instruments before they play, it's really easy to identify which each item is. So you can kind of go, oh, right, that's what a clarinet sounds like. So it's, I thought it was quite interesting to play, and I hope you enjoyed it. We basically played a rehearsal set of the Lunchbox before it went to its world premiere. So in a few weeks when we actually get the final version, we'll be able to play that for you. But in the meantime, we played that and I thought it was beautiful. So I hope you enjoyed it. Now I am going to play you the second part of the interview highlights with Tanapum Sirachang. But I just wanted to mention the fact that if you want to hear any of the extended interviews, because we play about 10 minutes on air each week, there's extended interviews which last about half an hour with each guest. You can check out the blog joy.org.au/thefoolandtheopera is where you can get it. You can also check out last week's interviewee, which was Cheryl Barker. Wonderful interview, so I highly recommend you check it out. joy.org.au/thefoolandtheopera. It's also got the blog, so if you want to find out anything more about any of the operas that we play or anything like that, you can check out the blog. Now I'm going to continue with the interview with Tanapum Sirachang. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9.
How was the journey from Thailand to Hobart? Why did you choose Hobart?
I chose Tasmania because I hate big city. I can't cope with big city.
Right.
That's the fact. That's the only fact that I chose to come to Tasmania. I know nothing about Tasmania before that. The only thing I know about Tasmania would be that Tasmania and Devil, the cartoon character.
Right.
So I hate to say that, but that's the fact. It's kind of surprising me too. The first time I know that they actually exist. These little Tasman and Daryl, their little thing look like a dog and making noise. So it's kind of nice.
Now, two of the performers that will be performing in your opera, Saran
Sivsandivong
and Monique.
Monique Kong Tuadrog.
They're
Monique, yep.
Both from a big city, Bangkok. Did you have them in mind when you were writing this opera?
I started writing this opera before I get to know them. So why when I start to know them, that when I start changing and working in the music with them. So it's kind of helped me to know my performers, to know their abilities, to know what they can do, what they can't do. It's really helped composer to write the music for them. And also to make it more in common to the other singers. If this opera will be performed again in other state or in other country with different musicians and singers. So it does help to get to know my performer.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the instruments that are being used in this opera. What sort of instruments have you used?
I got flute, and clarinet. And this one also fun for me to write for is electric keyboard.
All right.
Because I can pick sound and effect and more like a... It's more fun when I deal with electronic because like when I said, I mentioned about try to deal with their ability and the nature of the instrument. When it comes to electronic thing, it's more likely that everything are more possible. So this one is fun to do with, to write for. And I have violin, cello, and the percussionist. One percussionist with a lot of traditional Thai percussion. This is also fun for me to write for.
So what are some of the traditional Thai percussion instruments?
Mainly it will be nipokongs, a lot of it. I can tell you that I use a lot of them. I use a lot of nipokong, finger cymbal, and I'm actually trying to find a place on bongo, but I couldn't find it here. So we just use bongo and using the sound, it is similar. And to write for this, I'm actually using this set of percussion, set of rhythmic, from Thai music. It's a fixed set that we use in traditional music, and I use in this opera to make a different and characterize the Thai music in there.
Okay. So how does that sort of work? Is there a specific style of rhythm that people would be easily identify?
It would be really easy to identify this from the music itself because the character of it is really, really obvious, the way they play. Which and this one is also fun when I had to help teaching professional percussionists how to play Thai percussion.
Right.
So it's kind of fun.
So they wouldn't have come across that sort of thing before?
No, not the percussionist I have for this one. And he looked like he's enjoying it too. He said he'd been practicing it, and when he come back, the first thing before we set everything, before rehearsal, he would just come to me and say, look what I can do now. Oh, it's just lovely. He's just a lovely guy too.
Let's talk a little bit more about your use of the electric keyboard. Tell me about some of the sounds that are coming from this electric keyboard. You said that there's a lot of effects being used.
I'm using a lot of effects. There'll be delay, reverb, and this. More like a Doctor Who sound happening here.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I call it Doctor Who effect. No, you can't really say that what kind of sound it is. Like, sorry.
What are some of the operas that you have watched and have you found very inspiring?
I would go with Wozzeck, if anyone would know about it. That's a really nice one.
Okay. What is it about?
It's really powerful. It's about this... It's pretty similar, actually. It's about this man, his relationship, and between him and his wife, who cheating on him. And you have to just go. Just go see the set. I'm more likely to see the set and the music of it. It's just powerful. It's a powerful thing.
Did you cry?
now. Just go sitting there watching it and stun and just like, whoa.
Are you expecting people to cry at your opera then?
I'm expecting them to cry, but I want them to consume it with their heart and all the feeling, and if they feel like crying, I just want it to come out without, for them, that it should come out without knowing it.
What are you looking forward to with the world premiere?
I just pretty much want everyone to like it, to enjoy it and like it. That will make me happy. That make the composer happy already. If I sit there with them at the end, the curtain down, they clap their hand, they're yelling, they throwing flowers instead of shoes, that would just make me happy already. That's the moment of a lifetime. I worked 2 years for that 10 seconds after the curtain down.
What is the traditional Thai way to celebrate a victory?
I guess it would be just like the other culture. We just go drink and cheers, party on. I probably hit the dancing floor too. Yes, but not a plan to do actually. I'm pretty sure that I will hit that hard.
Well, best of luck with the premiere, and it sounds like a fantastic opera. I've heard a little bit of it, and it's just absolutely wonderful. So thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you.
You're on the phone, the opera on Joy 94.9, and that was Tanapum Sirachang, a wonderful guy, such a charmer. And I hear that the premiere went fantastically, and yes, the audience did cry. It opened as part of the 10 Days on the Island Festival in Tasmania on Thursday. So yes, Tanapum has told me that the opera was very well received. Now, I promised the lads from Technogaze that because they were having a Mac and PC debate to see which is better, Mac or PC, and you can have a listen to that podcast via the podcast at joy.org.au. I promised them that if Mac won, I would play Mac the Knife in their honour. And I've found a lovely track in keeping with the Thai theme of music that we've got happening now. I've found an interesting version that is done by a bunch of Thai elephants. It's called the Three Baht Opera, which is an elephantal version of the Three Penny Opera, which is where Mac the Knife is from. So I'm going to play that track for you now. It's the Three Baht Opera, as done by a bunch of Thai elephants. You're on the Fool in the Opera on Joy 94.9. You're on the Fool in the Opera on Joy 94.9, and that was the Three Baht Operas done by a bunch of elephants in Thailand. Very interesting little piece because, you have an orchestra of elephants, and they also do the vocal parts, and they do the percussion, and they do everything. So it's quite fascinating to see their interpretation of what our music is. Now, I've got a lovely track as well, which I thought we should play because of course, we had the Tanapum Sirachang wrote a Thai opera. I thought I'd play you the first, the world premiere of the, it's an opera called Madonna, and it was the first opera written by a Thai composer and the first native produced opera in Thailand, and also the first production that was performed by the newly found Bangkok Opera at the time, which was in 2001. So this is an opera called Madonna, and this next section comes from Act 2. Basically, Madonna is this celestial maiden who has been condemned to live her life as a rose because she basically said no to a god who wanted to marry her. And so he turned her into a rose, and on every full moon, she gets turned back into a maiden. And on a particular night, the king at the time, King Jayasena, saw her in the woods and falls in love with her. And so they have a lovely love affair, and the queen spies on them and sees it. And then this is the part where the queen condemns Madonna to be arrested and to be put in prison. You're on the Fool in the Opera on Joy 94.9. You just heard the chorus in the opera Madonna. They're calling the god who originally turned Madonna into a rose. She calls for him to save her and from, you know, the torment of prison and a death sentence. And the god arrives in full resplendent glory with a chorus. Now, in full resplendent glory, I've got a very special guest in the studio at the moment.
Oh, I don't think resplendent glory is what I'd use to describe myself this evening, I've got to say.
I've got Kirsten from Bent Notes, and you're not actually following me today.
I'm not, because we've got an OB, as I'm sure people are aware of, with an outside broadcast going on tonight, as soon as your show finishes. And then there's just an hour of jazz this evening. So what we're going to do is very excitingly have Eric Williams, who comes from WBI in New York, who he's actually in Melbourne at the moment, writing about Melbourne music scene. He's going to be doing an hour of jazz with a sexy New York voice, which, ooh, I would wager sounds a hell of a lot better than my dying English one. So you've got that to look forward to this evening.
Excellent. But we've also got some special stuff coming up next week.
Yeah,
as well,
I was just going to plug my show. Next week we've got an interview with Kristen Berardi, who I've been playing on the show. We've got an interview with 3-time ARIA Award winner Andrea Keller, who both of those are going to be playing at the Melbourne International Jazz Festival. And we've got some more live jazz in the studio. This is the second time around. We've got Stella Skinner. She's a jazz guitarist, and she'll be coming in and playing live in the studio.
Lovely. So that'll be beautiful music then.
Very mellow. Very mellow. And I might even not be dead next week, so the whole thing should be great.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like a fantastic show, so
it does.
Definitely plug it again next week.
So there is still jazz this evening, but it's not going to be on until 8 o'clock, and so tune in to hear Eric Williams doing his jazz thing for an hour.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for coming in and promoing your show.
Pleasure. Thank you for the opera with, as I said off air, the very believable plot.
Yes. Now, as you know, I like to finish the show with a big piece of music that will link in with the next show. And this week, of course, because we've got a special live broadcast with Tim Newton presenting from Circuit Bar, there will be, of course, special guests Porn director Chichi LaRue and Titan Men exclusive Marco Blaze talking about the pros and cons of barebacking in porn. I've got a piece that is called Chemical Porno, written and it's been remixed by a group called Opera Dog. So that's the link. You're on the Fool in the Opera on Joy 94.9.
The brothers gonna work it out. The brothers gonna work it out. The brothers gonna work it out. The brothers gonna work it out.
You're on the Fool in the Opera on Joy 94.9, and that is the time, all the time that we've got. And coming up next, of course, with Tim Newton, we've got the special live broadcast from Circuit Bar. So stick around for that. This has been the Fool in the Opera on Joy 94.9. Thanks very much for joining me. See you next week, as Opera Dog would say, same Fledermaus time, same Fledermaus channel.
Thanks for listening to the Joycast of The Fool and the Opera from Joy 94.9 Community Radio. You can find more Joycasts and the program blog at joy.org.au/The Fool and the Opera. The Fool and the Opera is produced by Dan Vo and Jed Gilbert, thanks to the support of Joy's sponsors and members. Please help support it by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.